For those who may not be aware, we're using the book of Ezra at the moment to draw out some themes. At the moment, this 2 weeks and last week, looking at family, what it means to be a family of God's people. And if you were here or if you've listened to Janet's talk from last week, probably like me, you'll be amazed at just how much she got out of those passages. Wasn't it amazing? And this week, she's going to do something a little bit different, and I'll invite her up to explain that now as I begin to move a bit of furniture around.
Thank you very much, Paul. Well, hello, everyone. I'd like to invite Pat to come up. I'd like to invite Reuben and Lucy to come up. Yes, so I'll sit there. Pat, if you want to come and sit here. Reuben, do you want to take this chair as well over there? Yeah, come and join us. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Pat, Lucy, Reuben, and Flo. It's just great to have you with us there. As Paul said last week, I was talking about being family, being community from the book of Ezra. And we're thinking about how family is made up of so many different people, all ages, all different types, all playing different roles. I talked about looking to see who's missing, who's not there in the family. We talked about the people on the fringes of the family. We talked about how the family shared the burden, how they divided up all that silver and gold on that journey. And then we talked about how the family prayed together. This week, we're going to try and earth it into what does it actually mean in practice to be church family, to be church community. So I'd like to start by asking you simply to introduce yourselves. If you're happy to tell us how old you are, you can do that. And how long have you been coming to Christchurch? So if you'd like to introduce yourselves, we'd love to hear who you are and how long you've been here.
I'll kick us off. I'm Lucy, this is Reuben, this is Florence. We're 28, she's nearly one. And we've been at Christchurch for 5.5 years now.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Lucy. Thanks, Reuben. Thanks, Flo. Pat.
Hi, I'm Pat, as you realise.
Hold up the microphone.
I'm not used to this. I came to Christchurch nearly 43 years ago, so it's rather a long time. And before that, I had a very happy family, and my parents became Christians, and it was great. And I became a Christian, asked Jesus into my life when I was 10 years old. So I have been a follower of Jesus for, 75 years. And I just thank God for his goodness. But when I came to Christchurch, it was a very different story. I'd been a missionary overseas as a teacher and also involved in the CPAS work in England after that. And I came here as a very broken person. I had just spent 4 months in a psychiatric hospital in Bristol where I got excellent care, and throughout the illness, I have to admit, over the years, they were very, very good. But when I came here, I was just broken. I had no family, and that was the big thing. My parents both died when I was in my 30s, and so I literally had no family when I came to Bristol. My only family were miles away in Australia. So that's how it happened.
Thanks, Pat. Yes, so not giving too much away, I would say you're probably over 80 now.
But you know, your maths is pretty good considering you're a maths teacher.
Okay, so you lost your parents over 50 years ago. No sisters, no brothers, and I think your cousins were in Tasmania, am I right?
Yes, I think mainly, so, or Australia generally. Mm.
Before the gathering began, they were talking on live stream about, do you remember the first time you came to Christchurch? What was the welcome like? What's it like when you actually go somewhere? And Jack Reed, about, you know, how wonderfully he'd been welcomed by Katie Brooks. Also, Chris Saunders talked about being given a really warm welcome by somebody called Margaret. And it all sounds wonderful. But actually, is the welcome always that good? So if you can remember back that far, perhaps Lucy, you'd like to say a little bit about how was the welcome when you came to Christchurch?
Yes, so we were discussing this morning and have different recollections on our welcome situation. So you think it was pretty good? I feel like we sat on our own for 3 weeks, but I do remember, both of us remember really clearly that Paul welcomed us as we left, because Paul has a great habit of standing on the door, and he welcomed us and connected us with Helena and then what was the Tuesday community. And yeah, would you like to say something?
Thank you.
Our welcome when we went on Tuesday was amazing. I think, I kind of feel like we sat on our own for 3 weeks, but we both felt very strongly that we were called to be at Christ Church, and so we kind of stuck it out and then got stuck in. So, but Rue is confident that it was a strong welcome.
Thanks for that. No, it's a good reminder. It isn't always strong. You know, we try and do our best to welcome, but there might always be somebody that nobody has actually spoken to them. So again, just a reminder to chat to people, to welcome people, because when they come to our homes, we open the door, we talk to them, we welcome them, we greet them. Pat, can you remember anything about the welcome?
I can, actually, more or less.
That's quite impressive, Pat.
What did you say?
It's quite impressive.
It's impressive.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Because, when I came, I was really a broken person, and I didn't know that my illness was going to continue. I suffered from depression out of the blue, although there were reasons later that we discovered I hadn't grieved over my parents and such things like that, and I'd just gone back to work. And it led to me having a recurrent depression over 20-odd years. But when I first came, I found it was mainly individuals that welcomed me. There was one lovely family who I got to know, and they used to invite me to their home. They had three daughters growing up, and it was lovely. They were really a family to me. And then also, I met three particular ladies, all single. And one of them used to visit me in hospital, and she would bring me. She wouldn't come and preach or do anything like that. She would come and visit me every Saturday and bring a women's magazine or puzzle book or something like that. And that was tremendous. Another lady who I'm still friends with 40 years since, who's now at another church, but we became friends. She suffered from depression at the time, and between us, we managed to be fairly up on different days so we could support each other. And we used to visit each other's homes, which was just nearby. And then I think gradually I began to become more part of the church, I suppose. I'm sorry, I've got a few notes. You can allow it when you're old. But also they gave practical help. I don't know whether that's coming back up later, so I won't mention that at the moment. But it was the practical help in other ways that people gave me, and that was important to me at the time. And it, by God's grace, it brought me through many years. Eventually, of course, my knowledge of people grew, and I made more friends. But I'll never forget those original friends who helped me in such a way.
Oh, that's great to hear. We all play different roles, and last week I talked about we had the priests, we had the Levites, we had the gatekeepers, the temple servants, and how different people can play different roles within the family, and it's the same within the church family. So Lucy and Reuben, you know, within the 5 years, are there any particular roles or any things you've been particularly involved in at Christ Church?
Yeah.
And has it changed at all again?
Oh, good question. So we have led a small group for the last 4-ish years, which has been really, really significant in our journey here. I lead the five sometimes, and I think for us, I was going to say when we first joined, we were just members of a small group, and I feel like we were on the welcome team, always a low, by which I mean it's an easy one to get involved in when you don't really know people and you're kind of just establishing yourselves, you know, welcome team. We were on Livy's welcome team, and then, yeah, so we loved that, and then now we lead a small group, which we love, and if they'll have me, I'm about to join the PCC. But I think the roles, I love being involved in church, because I think it's something about ownership, and about getting involved, and taking ownership of your space, right? It's a collective thing, a church, and I think it's a really precious thing to have something that you do that contributes to the wider family.
Yes, and I think, again, we said something last week about being in the right roles. If we do the wrong roles, things don't really go smoothly.
So true. I feel like someone in our small group who's wonderful, and Nick is really good at this, Nick Carter, like picking out roles that are good for people. And I lead the five. I love that. I really know that's a calling on my life. But for this person in our small group, they really are really good at mowing the lawn. And that's just top, right? Because that needs doing. It keeps our church looking great. But, I mean, I'm not going to mow the lawn, but I hear they're very good at it.
You may actually have noticed outside. Well, first of all the work that's been done inside, but just to say a big shout out, thank you to the grass cutting. And I don't quite know who's cut the grass, but it actually looks really good outside there. So we need all those different sorts of roles. And you and Reuben, again, are different characters. And again,
yeah, you'll notice. So do you want to say anything on this? No. Different characters there. Yeah, and that's... That's a journey like that you go on together, right? Like, what's your role? Rue does not enjoy public speaking. He won't be leading the five anytime soon, but he's quite happy.
Very good,
Reuben,
at looking after Flo. So.
He's very good at looking after Flo. It's just a different level. It's just a different thing to contribute. Mm.
And at different times within a family, you take on different roles. And sometimes you do things for a bit and then something. At some points, you're the one who's giving a bit more. Sometimes you're the one receiving a bit more. So, Pat, do you want to say a bit about maybe some of the roles that you have done or during your 40-plus years at Christ Church, and maybe some of the times when you've been on the receiving end and some of the times you've been more on the giving end?
I would say that the first, 15 years probably, I was just on the receiving end. I wasn't able to be a leader in any way. And incidentally, that was something that really upset me when I was taken ill. I had been a leader, a Christian leader. I know that that's not all be all and end all, but for me, it was my calling. And I can remember how I felt so out of things from that point of view, the practical things. But then gradually, I began to do things. Part of it was because at the age of 50, I had to retire on health grounds. Thankfully, I'm well from all that now, but I had to retire on health grounds, and I found that very hard. But people at church began to encourage me, as it was the right time, to become involved. And I remember helping with a mums and toddlers group, and actually, I know God can use our previous experiences. And I remember sitting with one of the mums in that group one day, and I said to her, "How are things, or how are you?" And she said, "Oh, I am so depressed." And because of what I've been through, I said to her, "Do you mean just fed up, depressed today, or do you mean really depressed?" I said, "I can ask you that because I've been really depressed." And it was a wonderful opener to talk again. So God uses what we've been through. Also, what did I do? Oh, dear, I did some things. I'm hopeless at this. I think one other thing I did when I was really quite a bit better, I actually helped in the church office. Now, that was one of the highlights of the week for me, and I really, really mean it. It was lovely to be part of a team, just doing ordinary things, mail, perhaps answering the phone. But all those things helped me to build up my confidence until later in the time I was able to do other things.
Just to say, I'm sure Nick Carter would be very interested if anyone here feels that's something I could do just to help out in the church office.
Yes, it really is a good thing to do. And then gradually I went on to do other things. Do you want to hear about those now?
In a moment is the answer. In a moment, there we are. Both of you, I know, have faced significant health challenges in different ways, either physical or mental health challenges. How, as a church family, have you been supported or not supported through those particular challenges? Pat, do you want to say a little bit?
I'd just like to tell you about a former vicar who actually taught me a lot about helping other people by helping me. And he had just arrived in the parish and he came to visit me. And I felt I could trust him straight away, and I began to tell him just exactly how I was feeling. I was at a bad low at that time. And he listened. I could sense him listening, taking it in. And then he said, I can't understand, but I can see your pain. And often in mental illness, that is, you can't see somebody's pain, but he could hear what I was really saying in my heart. And I found that so helpful. And then another thing, when we came to the end of talking, instead of saying, let's pray, or shall we pray, he just said, would you like me to pray for you? That made all the difference. I wasn't finding prayer easy. So I said, yes, please, but make it short. Don't do that to vicars, do you, Paul? We do it this way. But make it short. And I'll never forget, I remember now to this day, he just said, Lord, we do not understand, but we want to trust you. He identified, we do not understand. And I think that's a big thing when we're making people welcome. We don't understand. Sometimes people say, oh, I've been ill with so-and-so, so I know how you're feeling. They don't. We, none of us know how somebody else is feeling. And I think we have to be aware of that. But I think it was so important. And if he'd said, we do trust you, at that moment, I would have found it hard to say amen. I was struggling. I wanted to trust God in it. And eventually, praise him, I managed to say, yes, I do want to. I do believe. I trust in you for this healing or whatever it is you have for me. Mm. And I think that's really important.
Thank you. So that's some really good advice there. Really good. Thank you. Lucy, I think you've also been through the mill.
Yeah. And I just wanted to revisit the roles thing, just to say, like, no role is, like, bigger or better. Like, if it's just because it's more public or you have the mic or you don't, like, that's not, it's not how it works in the kingdom. We have wonderful friends, Matt and Emily. They are, like, such faithful prayers, and they really receive they hear the voice of God. And that is so significant in the church family. And maybe, I just want to say, if you're like sat there or you're at home and you're thinking, my role is not seen, we're loving lunch over here. And the church carpet is loving our lunch too. And just because it's not seen doesn't mean it's less significant. And God sees everything. And it's so important that you know that and you feel that. Yes, I had cancer 3 years ago now. 4 years ago in October, I was diagnosed. And the church family was hugely significant in that season in our lives. We believe passionately, like, that we're called to live in community, that being in isolation is really not how God designed us to live. And this was incredibly brought home to us in that season. I had 6 months of chemotherapy where I was very ill, and then sort of six months of quite significant recovery, which is ongoing, whatever. Anyway, and I'm so grateful for the role of the church family. There were lots of things that happened. There was a prayer meeting, not specifically for me, but for everyone, well, specifically for me among, at the time, unfortunately, there were lots of people who had cancer in our community, and we prayed for them. But for other things, like our small group, I remember, so we found out on the Monday night that I was sick, and on the Tuesday, our small group came round, and we were, like, incredibly blessed that we had a lot of doctors in our small group, or like medics, like physios, and I hadn't wanted to really engage with like Google and what was going on in my system, but they were able, I do remember so clearly that the three doctors and Lily the physio were able to like explain what would happen, and but in a really like kind of pragmatic, not in a terrifying, you've seen awful pictures on Google kind of way, and then practically there was significant financial support from the Tuesday community. There were meals. There were trips to the hospital. There were like people who would just come around to keep me company, because you don't realize when you work all the time that when you don't work, there's no one to see. Or there are people to see, but you just have to like work a bit harder at it. And I, but I think the really big, and other things that are like really precious as I look back, like I remember one evening at Tuesday Community, which used to be where like all the small groups of a certain demographic met, and I had lost all my hair, and I was wearing a hat because I didn't really like the wigs, and it was really, really hot, and I remember not being super confident about not having my hat on, like having a bald head. And I remember one evening and like turning to me and being like, I'm really hot, I need to take this off. And I took it off, and then I don't know if you ever noticed, but Chris Whitwell often has a hat on. But that evening in small group, he saw me take my hat off, and then he took his hat off, and it was like this moment of like solidarity. And I think there are just significant moments in that journey where, and the whole thing, but I believe passionately that we are like designed to live our lives in a community space, in family, where we're like known and we're able to belong and people see what we're going through. And I think if the church can't provide that, we're doing something fundamentally wrong. Like, because we see it in Jesus' model. I don't see it in the way he sent out people in pairs, that he had 12 disciples, that it's so important to the way we're designed to live.
Thank you so much. And I love the way you emphasised community. You talked about the small community, just to say again, join a small community, and just how great they were, and a lot about the practical support too. I'm just going to read one or two words from Psalm 68. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Psalm 68, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, God sets the lonely in families. So as we come towards an end now, you've talked a bit, Lucy, about, you know, experiencing family within your small community. Pat, your situation is different because you've lived on your own for a very, very long time. How have you experienced family as someone who's lived on their own for ages?
That Janet quoted about the solitary or lonely in families, I remember reading that, and God has been faithful in that promise to me. I can think, and I don't mind mentioning a name because she's here today and she's very special, Sandy and her family. Well, I met Sandy when she first came here, and we met at a welcome group led by our vicar and his wife. And then she came and joined me in the same home group as me. And that evening, you won't mind me saying, I'm sure, that she got through to her mum back in Malaysia and said, I found my first friend in Bristol tonight. Now, that is amazing. And we got to know each other, and then they were married, had children. I'm godmother to their daughter, and they've made me part of the family. And the other day, Sandy said something which really made me think. She said, I don't feel I've done enough for you. I wish I could do more. My reply was, Sandy, you are there. You are there. And if I need anything, I know I can contact you. And I think that's what being a friend or welcoming them is, that we are there for people, just sitting with them sometimes. And then during the following years, I have gained another two little families. And they've got young children, and it's a joy to be able to give to them and them to give to me. One of them has sent me texts every week or so with lovely verses on to encourage me. And the how can you concentrate with that? Hello. And the other sends me photographs of the family to keep me in touch and so on. So it's a dual thing. We give to each other, and I think that's so important, that I feel I belong to a family, but also I feel I belong to certain families individually, as it were. I think that's really important.
Thank you very much.
And we touched on generosity.
We have very, very little time left. If you can get it down to two sentences, Pat, on yes. your experience of generosity, before the vicar stops us.
I'm afraid of him. When I was so unwell, I had financial problems, as you can imagine. And I had a friend here in church, and others too, who used to put anonymous gifts through my door, front door. And that was amazing. And once she said, this isn't two sentences, I'm sorry. Once she gave me an envelope, and in it was a little note, and it said, I was going to give you £25, but during the service in church and the sermon, I realised I had to double it. But that's the kind of people who stood behind me. And I think God calls us to be generous in our time and just giving things. I haven't even mentioned my work with international students.
I think we may have to
leave that
for another
day.
Time,
but that is being family, offering family outside. Thank you.
In case you, I think we'll clap. Thank you. There's so much more we could say. I'm really sorry, but there's so much more. Thank you so much. Lucy, did you want to...
Just very quickly, only that if you're... You might be sat here and thinking that actually church hasn't been family
yes, go on.
For you, or that you've been really hurt, or you might be online thinking that at home, that you've had a bad welcome, or actually you feel that it's been cliquey, or you've been excluded, and it's probably an experience that more of us can relate to than you might think. And I think it's just important to acknowledge that, because there is probably pain, or there has been pain for people at various times, and I can't apologise really for that collectively, but I just want to acknowledge it so that people don't sit there and feel like this is all really lovely, lovey-dovey, and the church is always okay. wonderful. Sometimes it's not, and sometimes significant pain is caused, but I do have absolute faith and hope in a God who restores relationships and who brings hope where you feel like there is none. So if that is you today, I do just want to just pray that the Lord would mend what is broken, and that you would see hope, and I do pray for a different
Thanks,
experience.
Lucy. That's a really good point to close off. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Paul. Over to you. Thank you.
Fantastic. It's so good to have that honesty. And when we regather as a larger church family in the autumn, we're praying that that will be the case. We want family in the way that has been described, that aspiration to be really at the forefront of our thinking. Pat didn't get time to mention her work with international students, but many of you will remember that she used to come into the coffee shop when it was open, and she would gather internationals around her. And I've driven past her place on Pembroke Road a few times over recent months, and she's been standing out in the driveway, wrapped up against the cold and the rain, with a group of internationals around us. I've seen you, Pat, a couple of times, so you've not allowed the pandemic to stop your work. Okie dokie. But wonderful. Thank you, Lucy, Reuben, and Pat, for that this morning.